Welcome, everybody, to Between the Lines, the podcast from Jewish Quest. My name is Simon Eder, and each week I'm normally joined by a special guest to help deconstruct that week's parasha. But unusually, this week I'm going to be discussing Parashat Vayigash, and do look forward next week to welcoming another guest, in fact, Rabbi Daniel Nevins, who will conclude this year's journeying through Bereshit together. In one of the most popular videos ever on YouTube from the late Steve Jobs, speaking at the Stanford commencement date from 2005, he shared a powerful story about connecting the dots. He had been at Reed College, but after about 6 months, not seeing the value in what he was doing, dropped out. He stayed there a further 18 or so months as a drop-in before really quitting and trusting, scary as it was, that all would be okay. He certainly admitted that it was scary at the time, but in fact turned out to be one of the best decisions that he ever made. He began having dropped out rather than taking those classes that didn't interest him, dropping in to those classes that did. It was certainly not all romantic. He did not have a dorm room, so he slept on the floor in friends' rooms. He returned Coke bottles for 5 cents a bottle that would enable him to buy food. And once a week, on a Sunday night, he would traipse 7 miles across town in order to get one good meal a week from the Hare Krishna temple. Much of what he stumbled into, following intuition and curiosity, turned out to be invaluable later on. For example, as he shared, Reed College at the time offered amongst the best calligraphy classes in the country, which he went to, where we learnt about what makes great typography great. None of this at the time had any practical application, despite Jobs's fascination. But 10 years later, when designing the first Macintosh computer, it all came back to him, and he incorporated his learnings from Reed College when the Mac became the first computer with beautiful typography. Had he not dropped into that course at college, the Mac would never have had the multiple typefaces or proportionally spaced fonts. As he movingly expressed, had he not dropped out and subsequently dropped in on that class, personal computers may not have been the same. It was, as he said, impossible to connect the dots looking forward when he was in college, but it was clear looking backwards 10 years later. As he advises, you have to trust that the dots will connect in your future. You have to trust in something, as he says, your gut, destiny, karma. Believing that the dots will connect down the road will enable the confidence to follow your heart, even when it leads you well off the worn path. I share this story because we have such a moment of connecting the dots, the attribution being to God, to use that phrase from Jobs, in this week's parasha. It is, of course, that magnificent moment when Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, and rather than express animosity or a wish for revenge, as he might well have done, his brothers having left him for dead, then selling him into slavery, resulting in imprisonment for 13 years, and ultimately a separation from his family for more than 20. Rather than that, what we see is the tremendous way that Joseph has connected the dots when he uncovers his true identity to his brothers in Genesis chapter 45, verses 4-5. As he says there, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. And some years later, in fact, in next week's parasha, following Jacob's death, and the fear that the brothers have then, that at this moment, with their father no longer in the picture, that it's at this point that Joseph may well seek his vengeance, when he echoes similar sentiments, as we read in Genesis chapter 50, verses 19 to 21, where he says, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Though you intended to do me harm, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people, as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones." There have been various negative portrayals of Joseph. The political scientist, Aaron Wildavsky, for example, writing in the 1960s, indicated Joseph as an assimilationist and a tyrant who abandoned his Israelite identity in exchange for power. He certainly adopts plenty of the customs of his local surroundings, renaming, intermarriage, the visible Egyptianizing of himself, shaving, for example. Dafti goes, of course, much further, contrasting him with Moses. As he says, Moses was born in Egypt, but Hebraized. Joseph, who grows up a Hebrew, becomes Egyptianized. Joseph, who leads his people into Egypt, is succeeded by Moses, who leads his people out. The opposition between the two is so great and so consistent that it can't be unintended. There are, of course, plenty of counter-arguments to such negative assimilationist readings, not least the way that Joseph connects the dots again, placing, as he does, continually God as the source of his salvation, no matter what tribulations that he faces. We asked last week of Professor Gretz where God is in the story. There is no direct speech from him, of course, and yet, as she pointed out, he is the source to which Joseph points continually as the architect behind his success. Joseph explicitly credits God with granting him the ability to understand dreams, as we encountered in chapter 40, verse 8, and chapter 41, verse 16. And he speaks to Pharaoh as if he were given that his God has power over Egypt and indeed the entire world. Joseph even brings Pharaoh to recognize God's hand in the ruling of Egypt, as we encounter towards the end of chapter 41. And as we've just encountered here in our important meeting of Joseph with his brothers, he makes it abundantly clear that he believes God caused all things related to what happened to him, from his being sold as a slave to his becoming the vizier. Finally, then, it's Joseph also on his deathbed who reminds his brothers that God will remember them and bring them back to the land. The German biblical scholar Gerhard von Rad and other scholars following him noted that the Joseph story bears the particular signatures of the ancient Near East wisdom tradition. The wisdom ideology maintained that a divine plan underlies all of reality, so that everything unfolds in accordance with a pre-established pattern. Precisely what Joseph says to his brothers, as we've just encountered. Joseph is the only one of Israel's ancestors whom the Torah in chapter 41:39 calls wise, hacham. The same word as sage, of course, in Hebrew. Specialties of ancient Near East sages, including advising the king and interpreting dreams and other signs, just indeed as Joseph does. He certainly displays the cardinal sagely virtue of patience, which sages had, because they believe that everything happens according to a divine plan and would in the end all turn out for the best. Joseph thus looks like the kind of model of an ancient Near Eastern sage, and the Joseph story certainly looks perhaps like a didactic tale designed to teach the basic ideology of wisdom. Whatever the origins, though, of the story, whatever the influences, it's Joseph's message that certainly has an important therapeutic value. His positive outlook, his connecting the dots to a belief that God is the orchestrator, enables him to transform his situation again and again, and is certainly a magnificent lesson for us all today. Thank you for listening. And if you enjoyed this podcast, then please do remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, do find out more about our exciting content that we have for you at our mothership, jewishquest.org. Thank you also for listening throughout 2022 as we come to celebrating the Gregorian calendar. We look forward very much to joining again for the conclusion of Bereshit and then journeying, of course, into Shema with everyone together in 2023. And do also look out for an exciting new series on Questers, as we shall be exploring the important thought, thinking of those Jewish questers who have lived throughout the ages. Shabbat Shalom.